the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Thanks for connecting with the Radio Today weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan. Now, are you looking for some new ideas for your station? Are you interested in the future of advertising on the radio? Do you care what's happening to in-car listening? Well, if so, you're in the right place, because I want to introduce you to four people I met last week at the Radio Days Europe conference in Dublin, who all have some answers. First off, the man who took Australia's tired old Triple M from the bottom of the ratings to number one. How did he do that?
Well, it just took me half an hour to tell a room. You want me to tell you in a minute and a half?
A minute and a half, yeah.
Creating compelling content.
Oh, that's just so easy to say and hard to do.
Well, you know, the right cast is critical. Making sure everyone understands the vision and what the win is. Everyone from on-air to off-air, really clearly. And then trying things differently, doing things, you know, challenging the norm and not accepting the way things have always been done is the way to do them for the future.
Can you take the old audience with you when you relaunch a station?
Well, we weren't necessarily relaunching the radio station. We had an established group of fans of our brand who loved us and wanted us to be better, so we built from them. If I was changing to a polka station, I can't imagine I'd be able to keep any of my old audience.
Back in my career in the 1980s, I was part of the the relaunch of what was called Radio London into what became known as GLR, and we did it by turning the radio station off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think we learned to regret that, because what that did was it just told everybody to go away and we'd start again.
Correct.
So actually, bringing a few of the old people with us might have been quite handy.
Unless you've got an incredible marketing budget that tells people you switched it back on again, no one's going to turn back your radio station. Well, so you don't actually need incredible marketing budgets anymore, because we have these things called fan communities.
Ah, fandoms.
And they exist on social, and they exist out there, the people who love your brand. And you can build a tribe of marketers that will go to war for your brand if you listen to them and are honest with them and allow them the opportunity to be heard.
And you are targeting men?
Yeah.
Telling women to go away?
Anyone who pees standing up. That was part of our vision. Anyone who pees standing up. No, we're not telling women to go away. Although I do like to pick an enemy every now and then. They're certainly not the enemy. No, we target men because I don't think, unless you clearly have a 50-50 male-female strategy, I don't think you can say we're a male radio station, but let's just be careful of women. What we don't do is we're men who love women. We have wives, daughters, girlfriends, sisters, aunts, and so we're always respectful. We're not misogynistic in any way. People tend to think that if you have a male brand, you're misogynistic by design. That's not true. It's not always about tits and cars. It's our breakfast show can go from talking about football to having a breast cancer survivor on, or talking about domestic violence. We're supporters of White Ribbon Day, which is a foundation in Australia that raises awareness of domestic violence against women, and we can do that. You wouldn't normally consider it compelling content for a male radio station, but as I said, we all have women in our lives, and that affects us as well as it affects them. So I think challenging the way we think about what content is for what audience, and just creating interesting content.
We were told for many years, often I have to say by Australians, that you couldn't mix music and speech, that you were either a speech station and you did all talk, or you were a music station and you just played back-to-back hits. Well, now, you've broken those rules, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. My breakfast show is kind of... My breakfast show is case in point. We started and I said, you've got to play four songs an hour. And then my breakfast host, who's an incredible host, and in fact, they're all incredible performers, said to me, okay, we'll play four songs. And then some mornings he'd play two. And then you've got to play four. And then he proved to me that every time he takes a song out, our TSL goes up. He said, no one wants to hear from Leonard Skinner when I'm talking about the football. So, okay, well, if you can replace the song with compelling content, then you can drop a song. I think when we're telling you to not mix sport and not mix talk and not mix music, probably in the old AM days, because have you ever listened to a song on AM radio? It's disgusting.
No, but the idea used to be, absolutely, didn't they? They always used to say you can't mix, because the person who wants speech and the person who wants music, they might actually be the same person at different times of the day, but they want a different thing. And I've always felt that that's wrong, that actually a good mixture of the two is a very attractive listen.
I believe so. And also I think it's about where it's consumed. So, you know, a lot of most listening now, I understand, in Australia is consumed in car, certainly under 55. So if you're in the car, you can listen to speech. If you're at work and it's on the background, the last thing you want is some prat banging on about, you know, whatever he thinks. You want some music and some relief with up-to-date information and breaking stories when they happen. So that's a really simple theory.
Mike Fitzpatrick from Triple M. Well, what are the three M's, by the way?
Melbourne. That's in Melbourne. I don't know what they stand for in Sydney.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Next up, some more good ideas from Australia and one of Mike Fitzpatrick's colleagues at SCA. Here's Sam Kavanagh.
I did a presentation earlier just about just really simple principles on creativity. I think we've got a myth in our culture that creativity is something that only special people have. But in actual fact, all creative people just have a process and follow a simple process. And that's what I've got. That's what all the great people that we work with at SCA just have, really simple habits that they practice around creativity.
Tell me this. A lot of commercial radio all around the world is a record and then perhaps another record and then, hey, let's play a third record, perhaps a fourth one, maybe let's do 10 in a row. There's not as much creative thinking as you would expect there to be in a business which needs to attract new people. Would you agree with that analysis?
Well, you know what, in Australia it's very different. Like, in Australia, all the successful stations are playing less music and doing more content. So, you know, we can't compete with Spotify's and iTunes Radio and Pandora if all we do is play music. Kids can get their favourite song anywhere they want, anytime, in their pocket, on their phone. So for us to stand out, we need really strong personalities, great shows that do compelling content. I mean, that's the win for us. And that's also how we can integrate advertisers. You know, advertisers don't want to buy spots anymore. They want to buy into our ideas, into our content. So I think radio stations that are just, you know, playing 10 songs in a row are going to struggle in the future.
I was talking to one of your colleagues earlier about how his station breaks the rules that we were actually taught by an older generation of Australians, which
really
is that you can't have music and speech together. You're either all music or you're all speech. Yeah. And actually Australian radio is pointing in the opposite direction now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's all open for innovation. I think that the station you're referring to is Triple M. And they've done an amazing job of creating a network around rock, sport, comedy. And they have breakfast shows that, you know, consistently will stop down a song if a story breaks and cut into that song with news. That's exactly where we're heading.
Here's a real tough one. And finally, what's the best idea you've ever had?
The best idea we've had recently was a segment called the Blackout Challenge, where we take the hosts of this drive show, blindfold them, put noise-cancelling headphones on them, put things up their nose so they can't smell, and drop them into different scenarios, and then take off their blindfold, and they have to just react, sink or swim, in the scenario that they're in. We film it, we record the audio, and then we play it back online and on air. So things like, you know, people have taken off their blindfold and they're live on stage at a stand-up comedy venue, or they're in a boxing ring with a heavyweight boxer, or they have to do a Brazilian wax on a woman, or, you know, all sorts of crazy things. And it's just been a nice twist on that sort of, it's kind of like a prank, it's kind of like a few other different segments that we have, but it's really cut through, and the engagement online, on social, on air is fantastic.
And you are getting young people to listen to the radio, which we're constantly told will never happen again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Hamish and Andy, which are a show that a lot of people know over here and hugely popular still in Australia, you know, most of their fan base, well, not most, but a lot of their fan base are teenagers. Absolutely love them. I think if you get the content right and you get the teams and the talent right, you know, kids love content just as much as anyone else.
I'm really encouraged. I could talk to this man all day. Sam, thank you.
Thank you, mate.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
You're with the Radio Today programme this week, listening to some of the conversations I had at Radio Days Europe 2014. And here's a man with some very sharp observations about radio advertising. Ralph Van Dyke is a judge at the annual Cannes Lions, and he runs the creative agency Eardrum. Now, the spot ad, it's gone, hasn't it?
Well, It's going, and partly to our own doing. I think that we part of the problem is I don't think we hate the ads enough, hate them enough to actually do something about it. And we're a radio specialist agency, and that's all we focus on. So we learned how to hate in a good way, and it's motivated us to make a success out of it. But the creative audio, the audio in the ad break is still a vital part of radio. It's still the thing that earns the radio station the most money.
Because we keep hearing that kids have got no patience. Mm. So asking them to sit through a 30-second ad is quite hard. Asking them to sit through four or five of them in a row,
yeah,
then they'll never do that again, will they?
Well, not if they're crap. And most of them
are. Too many of them are, yeah.
And that's why more attention needs to be made on actually making them better, more engaging, more interesting, and finding ways to keep the listener enthused and engaged throughout the ad break. I mean, we need to do that for our advertisers, if not for the listeners, for our advertisers.
I was hearing from Sam Kavanagh about using sponsors' names inside content. Mm-hmm. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Because sponsors are careful about what you say about them.
Yes, I mean, radio is an easier medium to integrate seamlessly. But we've tried some things which are a little more subversive and
can you give us an example of something like that?
Yeah, well, something that the radio station didn't know about was for Strepsils. We wanted to encourage people to take a Strepsil at the first sign of a sore throat when you get that little tickle. So as well as running ads, which we wrote a couple of 30-second ads, we cast 15 actors around the cities that the campaigns were running in to call the radio stations and participate in the talk back and call up about a traffic jam or request a song, and during the time on air they apologize to the presenter, I've got a sore throat coming on, it's got to take a Strepsil. And we had that running for a couple of weeks while the campaign was on air. The radio stations didn't know, no one got hurt, but that was a way of actually thinking about the medium in a new way. I would encourage everyone to do that because the radio stations won't be thrilled. But there are ways of doing all sorts of interesting things.
What's the future for sponsored programming on the radio? I've detected a few years ago that we would get more of this, and yet I'm not hearing as much as I thought I would of, this programme's been brought to you by, that kind of sponsorship. Is that just a bit old-fashioned now?
It is a bit. I mean, advertisers want to be more involved. They want to have more relevance to the show. So it can't just be name-check, brought to you by. So the problem is a lot of the time the people who are coming up with the programming aren't commercially minded, and the people who are commercially minded don't understand the programming. So you've got you need the people in the middle to kind of go, well, here's a program that listeners are going to love that the advertiser is desperate to be involved in, and that needs to be more subtly and more weaved into the programming. And there's a couple of things that we're working with FMCG brands and a couple of telcos on the music side. And there are some companies that are really trying hard to do this. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be more common. Branded content is certainly on the rise.
One last thing. Why hasn't the advertising industry embraced podcasting and online radio to the extent that they've embraced everything else that's online?
I don't know if they know about it. Really, I think it's just a
we don't shout as about it. We in radio don't shout about it.
No.
Because sometimes we don't think it is radio. I would argue that if it's online or it's broadcast, if it sounds like radio, it's probably radio.
Yeah, well, I think that there's an attitude that the podcast is just this little intimate club that only a few of us know about it, so shush, don't tell everyone. But that's the perfect environment for a brand to be involved in because they're all there for a specific reason. They know exactly why they want that podcast, where they've got a special interest. They've got the listener, they're going to be engaged throughout the whole thing, so have a pre-roll. The US podcasts do it well. They know how to monetize it with advertisers. But it's still early days. There are still plenty of opportunities, and hopefully when people want to do it well, they'll invest a bit more in it and find the people that can help them.
I might need to challenge you to find a sponsor for my podcast.
Done. You're on.
Excellent.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Many of the sessions at Radio Days Europe were inspiring and motivational. Some were poignant, others frankly scary. US radio consultant Fred Jacobs spoke in a fascinating session about the future of in-car radio. Should we be worried?
Well, we shouldn't be worried, but we should be activated and motivated. This is one of those things that is sort of snuck up on radio. I think radio is aware of so many other threats out there, and then all of a sudden this thing kind of comes out of nowhere and the automakers who we've just always had this sense of entitlement with. I mean, radio's always been the prominent piece of entertainment in that dashboard. All of a sudden now that's changing. So we need to go to school. We need to figure this out, and we need to partner with the automakers.
Some of the photographs and film you showed us of consumers does suggest that once they've got a connected car and they can sit there with their dashboard and go, oh, I can get on Facebook here, I can do tuning, I can do all these other things. Conventional broadcast radio feels a bit of an Aunt Sally.
Well, perhaps, but I think to some degree we need to kind of reboot ourselves a bit and remind ourselves about why we are so important in the space. I mean, what is it that we really do that is essential, that really stands out, because there is so much more noise in that connected car center stack, as it is now called. So we really need to think about what is the why of our content, why do people come to us, and we need to really do that well. So it really is a bit of a reset for the radio industry, but maybe a healthy one.
Fred, where does digital radio sit in this debate?
Well, in the U.S., it sits at a very odd place. HD radio has been a very poorly accepted piece of technology by broadcasters. Many have adopted it, but don't really like it all that much. It hasn't lived up to whatever their promise was. And yet, when you talk to the automakers, they will tell you that HD radio levels the playing field and provides a consistent experience across platforms, so that when I go from satellite radio to my iPod to Pandora to FM radio, I get that album artwork, it looks the same, and FM radio and AM radio need that consistent experience, and so that's where HD radio comes in. But it's a bit of a dichotomy right now in the States.
Isn't part of the problem that compared to our television, where we just press the channel we want and we don't know which satellite it's coming from, radio thinking is still about, oh, is this AM or is it FM or is it DAB or is it DAB plus? I don't think the consumer cares about that.
Well, especially younger consumers, and to a great degree, they're sort of at the epicenter of this whole thing. Because the other piece of this, the automakers realize that millennials, Generation Y, are not as excited about cars as boomers were. And one of the ideas behind this whole connected car movement is to entice young people back into the romance of driving a car, because now there's all this great technology baked in. So they don't care where their audio source comes from. They just want to listen to whatever they want to listen to, whenever, wherever, regardless of band or source or those kinds of things.
Thanks to Fred Jacobs, Ralph Van Dyke, Sam Kavanagh, Mike Fitzpatrick, and all the speakers in Dublin who were good enough to share their thoughts with us. You can watch those interviews and about 30 others on the Radio Days YouTube channel, which is Radio Days Europe 05. That's all one word, Radio Days Europe 05. And of course, last week's Radio Today programme, where I discussed the conference with Will Jackson and Paul Robinson, is still available at radiotoday.com/podcasts. News now, here's Roy Martin.
Thank you, Trevor. BBC Radio 2 is to launch a pop-up radio station on DAB for the Eurovision this year. See the latest edition of eRadio for a special feature on pop-up radio. Radio Caroline North is now broadcasting from a ship on the River Mersey. The 28-day broadcast will celebrate 50 years of the station, which started the pirate radio revolution in the UK in 1964. And April Fool's Day has come and gone. Check out some of the best ones done by radio stations across the UK at radiotoday.co.uk. And that's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
David Lloyd Radio.
Some radio is utterly compelling, and this week, 32 years ago, as the Falkland Islands were invaded, its radio station continued. Take a listen to this.
Well, now, the situation, as you might hear, is that the radio station has now been taken over. We have three Argentine members.
We have everything recorded in two tapes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Well, just a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You wait a minute, please.
Go ahead.
Well, the radio station has now been taken over. I still hope that we can get His Excellency the Governor's message. Sir, what do you want to speak to the people? What
okay.
do you want to tell?
Tell the people to wait, turning on their receivers, to wait some minutes. In some minutes, the chief is going to communicate them.
Just a minute. If you take the gun out of my back, I'm going to transmit that to you. If you take the gun away. But I'm not speaking with the gun in my back.
That truly is radio, isn't it? The Falkland Islands Broadcasting Service on the night of the Argentine invasion this week in 1982. Happy birthday this week to that famous Radio 4 voice, Margaret Howard.
Hello again. I've often started Pick of the Week with those words, but is hello a proper form of address? It wouldn't do for everyone, according to Kate Adie.
Happy 76th birthday. 17 years on Pick of the Week on Radio 4. And, Margaret, you were on great form when you accepted your place in the Radio Academy Hall of Fame last year. Another woman who's cracking open the champagne this week is Anna Rayburn. Anna is 70, famed on early Capital Radio for Anna and the Doc.
The Independent Broadcasting Authority said that they could see that there was a value in such programming, but they would be happier if there was a doctor involved. And so I went to Colin Wilson, who was then working for the Forum Personal Advisor, who qualified as a psychiatrist, as a consultant psychiatrist, and said, how would you like to be on radio? And he said, me? On the radio? And we worked together for the rest of time.
Happy birthday, Anna Rayburn. Here's a biggie. This week, 90 years ago, BBC Schools Radio began.
Hello, schools. Page 14.
The first proper schools broadcast was just to London, actually, on 2LO, and the subject was gramophone music, thanks to Sir Walford Davis, who was a composer and professor of music at Gresham College. Schools Radio went national 7 years later. And so to another Commercial Radio 40th anniversary. It was the second commercial radio station in England outside London, and it launched this week in 1974 with 70 staff, including 9 journalists and 3 more on the way.
Another nice day in Manchester, and this for the first time on 261 Medium Wave 97 VHF Stereo is Greater Manchester Independent Radio. It's 5 a.m. and here's Richard Hemingway with Piccadilly News.
The Foreign Secretary, Mr. Callan.
Well, somebody must have had a master plan, but it wasn't me. In fact, I can remember walking across the Piccadilly Plaza where the studios were located just before the station went on air, and thinking, I wish somebody had told me what it is they want me to do.
Colin Walters reflecting on the launch of Piccadilly 40 years ago this week. Roger Twiggy Day kicked off the station, and this week Roger is 69. Happy birthday. 6 years ago, it was a brave step for what was to become the UK's biggest ever commercial radio group. GCAP agreed a takeover by Global for £375 million. 1989 now, and a new panellist on Just a Minute.
We welcome back Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones and Tim Rice, and for the first time we welcome Paul Merton. Will you...
I remember being nervous the first time I did it. The recording was in late 88 and it went out in 89.
I think that's such a good challenge. We have to give it to you, Paul, and you get a point for that. You have 20 seconds to tell us something about pinching starting now.
Pinching or nicking is a term that...
Derek never challenged.
The arrival of the wonderful Paul Merton on Just a Minute this week, 25 years ago, a natural to succeed Kenneth Williams.
Well, don't just stand there, man.
This week in 1966 was election week.
Newsbeat. Bringing news to the nation. This is Radio Caroline Newsbeat, fast and factual.
London, in today's general election, the Labour government are confident of maintaining power with an overall majority of at least 100. Polling is reported brisk across the country.
That election had a significance for commercial radio. Had the Conservatives won in 66, it could likely have led to commercial radio arriving a little early than it did. And staying with the pirates, this week 5 years ago, the film The Boat That Rocked was released.
That's the whole point of being the government. If you don't like something, you simply make it illegal.
Sort of sums it up, really, doesn't it? Problems this week 20 years ago, as LBC went into receivership, and that was 6 months before its successor was due to take over. And also problems for John Snagg this week as he commentated, or tried to, on the 1968 boat race. He suggested the ageing BBC boat that he was in was too slow to see the other boats. Poor John.
We're interrupting programmes.
10 years ago this week, with the strains of New York, New York, Chris Tarrant presented his final breakfast show on Capital FM. He'd woken up London for 17 years.
Who's that? Who was that person? That's the dangling bit this morning, 95.8, 25 minutes to 8 o'clock. Also this morning, our screens collapsed, so we're working off slate with the weather this morning. Here's the latest update from RSC Travel News on the slate at 25 minutes to 8 o'clock.
Chris Tarrant, who vacated the Capital Breakfast Chair after 4,425 shows. Finally this week, is it really 19 years since we heard this news?
Kenny Everett, radio and TV legend, has died. He passed away peacefully in his sleep at home, finally losing his long battle against AIDS. He was 50. The way he treated being HIV positive showed true style. He won worldwide admiration for the courageous way he dealt with dying, always joking and refusing to become depressed.
I'll probably go before you and I'll prepare your speech. You have to be philosophical or you go potty. Oh, no, I'm potty anyway, aren't I? cancel that last sentence.
Can I say bum on the BBC?
Just a moment, I'll check. Can he say bum on the BBC?
I don't know, I'll just check. Can he say bum on the BBC?
I don't know, I'll check. Can he say bum on the BBC?
Yes.
Thank you. Bum, bum, bum.
So, with Producer Choice formally introduced at the BBC 21 years ago, County Sound launching 31 years ago...
Welcome to County Sound. There. Not a wildly exciting announcement, and why should it be?
The seminal Radio 4 satire show Weekending launching 44 years ago... And farewell to the writer of so many radio series, Barry Took, this week 12 years ago.
Who left his office unexpectedly early for Hawaii?
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thanks for joining the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. This has been a TDC production, and we'll see you next time.
The Radio Today programme, with broadcast by Onyx.